Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
And this is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
I'm Rocco Cesar Romero.
David Starr.
Support WrestleTalk.
You are watching WrestleTalk.
Congratulations, you got here. Now, subscribe
and support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk and please subscribe now.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie.
Support Luke.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Because they talk about wrestling, and I like it.
Support WrestleTalk.
Go subscribe.
Support WrestleTalk.
Home of Luke Owen.
Whatever WrestleTalk is, and whoever Luke Owen is,
both the Ravens.
Nevermore.
WrestleTalk.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Chopper Pete Quinnell. I will be joined by Dave Just Dave shortly. But first, I just wanted to say that there were some technical issues because as you guys should know, or hopefully do know by now, these podcasts are taken from live stream audio that we do because we live stream on YouTube and Twitch and Facebook all at the same time. I know, technology, am I right? But we normally stream on all these platforms and we take the audio from that and then we make it into these podcasts as well, plus your extra podcast bonus content. However, we had some technical issues with the stream today. So if you hear any sort of inconsistencies in the show or anything today, that'll probably be why. I've tried to, you know, make the best of a bad situation, try to cover up as much as we can. So hopefully it should still be, you know, an okay episode at the very least. But if there are any inconsistencies, I'm sorry. But hopefully these won't happen again. Anyway, let's get into the show. Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Chopper Pete Quinnell, and I'm joined by Dave, Just Dave.
Hello everyone, yes, Just Dave here, and yes, podcast time.
Yay!
We are doined?
Back again. Doined?
I
don't know. I'm very tired.
It would seem so.
Yeah.
We've been playing, well, we both are quite tired because
we've
basically just been playing Sword and Shield.
Yes.
It's a thing now.
Pokemon is here and I'm so excited for it.
Just
quick plug, just before we start.
Twitch.tv/ScreenStalker,
myself and my lady partner, we are going to be playing all of it. So obviously this podcast is going out on a Saturday night, Sunday night, and Monday daytime and night. We're going to be streaming Pokemon Sword and Shield.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a fun time. So come check that out because Pokemon is great.
Yes.
As you were saying.
I genuinely am pretty certain this is the first Pokemon game since Blue that I've gone into so blind, knowing so little, and I was sat there yesterday playing it, and like I'm 28 right now, and I just had this, not since the days of Blue have I had such a childlike sense of wonder, and just. It's been so long since I've just gone out and just like, I'm going to catch everything I see that I haven't seen before.
Right? Yeah. It's literally that. Yeah. When we were on the stream yesterday, my lady partner, Michelle, and I, we were just saying, like, I'm just going to catch everything that's new.
Exactly.
Because I want to find out what it is.
Yeah.
I saw, No, I'm not going to say it. I was going to say something of something that I saw, just in case there's anyone listening who doesn't want any Sword and Shield spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say anything, but we saw a Pokemon, and I was like, what is that thing? I don't know how to feel about this. And then I caught it, and I was like, oh, it's got a weird typing that I did not expect it to have.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know. Probably.
I know what you're talking about, because my reaction to it was, no. No, I'm not accepting this. With the...
No. No.
Oh, not
no,
that.
No, not that at all.
Not that one.
No, not that. Dave just did some weird kind of like sign language type things.
Which you understood.
I understood, but not that. There's an entirely different thing. I'll tell you after we've finished But it is, like you said, so fun to not know anything about it and just go in and just be like, oh my God, it's a sheep. Oh my God, there's a Butterfree flying over there.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Little things. I'm absolutely a child playing this game again.
Me too. I'm quite foreign. I think I'm about like, my delivery arrived a little bit late, so I got the game and only started playing it like in the afternoon yesterday because I had chores to do at home. So I started playing at about 3 mm-hmm. p.m. I think I've logged 12 hours on it.
Jesus.
Oh yeah, I didn't stop.
Yeah.
I stopped very briefly for pizza. And occasional brief tea breaks.
Nice.
But that was it.
Yeah. I mean, we streamed from... we were supposed to start at 10.
Yeah.
And it got to 9:30 and I was like, I'm too excited. Let's start now.
Yep, just go for it.
So I just started a bit early. So we streamed for about 4.5 hours.
Yeah.
And then I had a nap because I was very tired. And then we streamed for another 4.5 hours again.
Mm.
So we streamed about 9 hours total. So I am shattered today because if those of you out there who haven't done any sort of streaming before, it's really tiring.
Takes it out of you.
Good God, it's really tiring.
It really does.
But yeah, we're doing more of that for like this whole weekend. And yes, Pokemon is a great game. And I'm sure in a couple of weeks, I'm sure we'll be able to talk about Sword and Shield spoilers more. But
for sure.
We'll refrain.
We'll hold off.
Yeah, we'll hold off for now. In other news, we're doing D&D tomorrow.
We are.
Mm. If we'd talked about, we wouldn't have talked about because we had our last session last Sunday, which was my campaign.
We did. We haven't played your campaign in ages.
I know. And we finally got back to it. It was my campaign last Sunday. And we're doing another session of my campaign tomorrow.
Which you're totally ready for.
So ready for. I've not had a busy week at all.
No,
I definitely have not run out of time to prep my D&D session.
No, absolutely not.
No, not at all. Luckily, because I had a lot of time to kill last Saturday, because obviously we came in, did the SmackDown review.
Yeah.
And then I stayed at the office until it was time for full gear reactions.
Yes.
I had about 6 hours to kill. And in that time, I made a whole bunch of D&D maps.
Ah, yes.
So I'm prepped for combat. Expect tomorrow's session to be combat heavy.
Pretty combat heavy. That's not good for me.
Yeah. No, you're fine. You're fine.
I mean, can you send out lots of quite thick character enemies, and I don't mean thick as in letters, words.
Two C's.
Yeah, I don't mean it like
thick
that.
I just mean
stupid. I mean dim characters that are going to fail wisdom saves.
Yeah, I mean, surely that would then be, if they were thick, they'd be low intelligence, not low wisdom.
I'm grouping them.
Okay, fair enough. It's probably going to be combat heavy. Might be dumb stuff. I don't know. Well, the way we left it off last week, because we had the return of a character.
We did.
Which was fun. It was cool to see them. The emotional toll that it had on some characters. That was fun. You guys headed off into a very dangerous swamp and came across a hunting party of Yuan-Ti's, which are like snake people.
Yes.
Which was fun. And immediately there was a big group of them. And first up was the wizard. And I was like, I wonder what they're
going to
cast.
Everyone else around the table going, I wonder what it's going to be. Could it be Fireball?
I cast Fireball. Which was fun. But then, that was a fun encounter. Because that's the thing. There's a tool on a website called D&D Beyond that both of us use. Where you can start building encounters on it.
Yes.
And I use that occasionally for various things. According to that encounter builder, if I'd have taken out 4 of the enemies out of it, that would have been a deadly encounter. And the thing is, I put in an extra 4 enemies, and I buffed all of their stats.
And thanks.
And it was a comfortable victory for all of you. No one dropped.
Yeah, no.
And, like, you guys had to heal, you have to use some resources, sure.
I didn't
but
take
like,
any damage.
Exactly. But it was
fairly comfortable. Like, it was a challenge, but it wasn't like, oh my god, this is so hard, and it wasn't a complete breeze. I'd say it was pretty much exactly what I wanted it to be for that.
Yeah.
But I had to load in the characters there. I was like, have four more. Increased HP. I'm going to increase there to hit as well. Screw it. I'm just going to give them extra everything. And you guys were like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. we kind of nailed them pretty well.
I mean, a couple of fireballs would do that. Good old Monk.
We had Monk I could choose my words very carefully here.
Uh-huh.
Because the words I was going to say, I was like, hang on, can't say those.
Uh-huh.
Punching, that'll do. Yes.
Yes.
Monk doing lots of punching. I hypnotized some people, basically.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, hypnotic pattern was cool.
Yeah, hypnotic pattern got three of them, which was nice. Three
was
out of five
cool.
Ain't bad.
Yeah, that was pretty fun.
And if it was all going to go horribly wrong, I did have a vague plan of...
Running away?
No. I was going to try and flank them through the trees, taking about five turns to get there, and then use the shadow I'd stolen from one of them as part of my rogue build, bard build, sorry, to disguise myself perfectly as one of the ones we'd killed and basically tell them that our boss said retreat if they were winning, which they never were.
Would have been really interesting, actually, for you to do that for several reasons. I'm not going to say what they are, because one of the UNT survived from you guys and ran away, and you guys are currently pursuing them.
Well, I think us guys are currently not entirely pursuing them, given what happened at the end.
So you guys were running through the woods that surrounded this swamp, and you came across a bridge. There was like a kind of like a pond slash lake of like really, you know, condensed like swamp water. And there was like a what looked like a handmade little wooden bridge that crossed it. Just some planks that were put together and kind of stuck in the ground at either end. And as you guys walked onto the bridge... Wouldn't you look at that? There's two water elementals.
I think only two
rising
people walked
out of
onto
the
bridge. I think
one person walked onto the bridge.
One person walked on the bridge. It's important to note, and everyone listening, you are my hearing witnesses to this.
Mm-hmm.
My character is right at the back.
Yes. Yes.
Very at the back.
Very, very at the back. Yes.
And willing to go further back. Wouldn't be the first time I've run away from a fight.
That's true. Suddenly there's two water elementals that you guys have got to fight after not resting after the previous fight you just had. So,
that's going to be
that's
an
fun.
Issue.
Conservation!
We might just have to run away.
You might.
Which
it's very
I
possible.
Can tell to people in hopefully languages that the water will enter there. Water elementals won't understand, because when our new friend, one of the old people from the campaign, came back, saw that my character's a goblin. And said, oh, I say hello to him in Goblin. I'm like, you speak Goblin? She goes, yeah, I speak Goblin. And then it turns out the rest of the party all speak Goblin apart from one person, which I did not know.
So you can all have conversations in Goblin and exclude that one person.
None of them thought to bring it up until now.
No, absolutely not.
Ridiculous.
Anyway, we should get into the main portion of the show.
Yes.
And we're going to get into some emails after on the outro portion of this show as well, because we've got some of them to do. So let's get into the main portion of the show, where we're going to be talking about, is The Fiend versus Daniel Bryan amazing? Here's the show. Let's get into the main talking point of this show, which is about The Fiend and Daniel Bryan. This happened on the main event segment of this show.
Yeah, Miz TV is main event.
Miz TV as the main event segment of the show.
Which is fair.
I was going to say main TV. Doesn't work.
You try.
Anyway, Daniel Bryan was a special guest on Miz TV.
Yeah.
He came out and The Miz kind of grilled him. He was saying this was built off The Fiend's attack from last week on Daniel Bryan. And he was saying, you know, why do you think he attacked you? And Daniel Bryan didn't say anything.
Yeah, just sat there and kind of in a stony silence, really. Just sort of looking down, looking a bit, kind of looking defeated.
Yeah, I think. A little bit, yeah. And and then he just continued and he was saying, that's fine, you're not gonna give me an answer, I'll give you my answer. And he jumped in and he said, you know, I think you're washed up, I think you're mentally unstable, and stuff.
Yeah, no one really knows who you are, you don't even know who you are. You know, he's like, I know that we don't like each other, but, you know, harsh truths and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Which was nice to sort of have that callback to
It's good they had character consistency with Miz and Bryan not liking each other. That's very good.
Yeah.
Bryan finally kind of pops up with his answer, and he says, yeah, I am mentally unstable. Like, whoa, that's a bit creepy. Okay. And he says, but you know what I do have? I've got passion. And that passion has led me to succeed at WrestleMania 30 and do all the crazy stuff that I've done and, you know, kick AJ Styles in the balls to win the WWE Championship, stuff like that. And he says, no one understands my mental instability.
Yeah.
But Bray does.
Yeah, but Bray does.
Ooh, and I was like, okay, that's cool. I like that they're playing up that no one knows what Daniel Bryan is. Because that's been the story for ages, is that no one knows whether Daniel Bryan's a face or a heel, if he's the leader of the Yes Movement. He was hugging Roman Reigns, but like, is that? But then he kind of like wasn't really following through with that in terms of being the Yes Movement guy. So they were playing up, you know, this kind of unstable character that is Daniel Bryan.
And it's kind of strange to think that when it comes to Daniel Bryan saying, yes, I am mentally unstable, I thought it was odd, not in a bad way, in a quite a good way, in quite an interesting way. It was odd to hear that coming from him and not where I expected it would come from, which would be Bray himself.
Mm-hmm.
I expected that it would be like Bray saying, yeah, you are mentally unstable, but so am I. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it was Daniel Bryan saying, yes, I am mentally unstable, and so is Bray. He understands that, which was a nice twist on it.
Yeah,
it was really good.
One of the things that Miz said as well is like the reason that the Fiend has attacked, the way he thinks the Fiend has attacked Bryan is because he can smell that Daniel Bryan is mentally unstable and he's weak and he's preying on that. And then because they said Bray's name enough times, I guess he got summoned. So he appeared on the Titantron Firefly Funhouse intro, all that gubbins. And he came out and he was saying... you remember what you did, don't you? He was essentially calling back to the previous Daniel Bryan being in the Wyatt family feud, which, again, really good character consistency. It's nice that Bray Wyatt is going after all the people that have wronged him in the past.
Yeah, exactly.
And he was saying, you remember what you did, don't you? Because he does.
Yeah.
Again, talking about the Fiend in the third person is really, really good. I like it.
I love... no one does it quite like Bray Wyatt. Just the very sudden switch where he's sort of sitting there going, you remember, don't you? Because I really think he does. Or maybe he just wants to play with you. No one does it like Bray.
Yeah, no, absolutely he's no really one does it like Bray. And yeah, it was a really good Firefly Funhouse segment. Yeah. It was a really good promo. And I really like, he got out a toy box. And he starts throwing random stuff out of it. There was like a squeaky clown horn that he just kind of threw aside.
And a hacksaw.
And a hacksaw and like a dead baby.
Yeah.
Just kind of throw it all behind. You know, whatever. It doesn't matter.
I feel like when he took out the dead baby doll thing, he sort of looked at him and was like, oh, I remember that time with Randy. And definitely was one of those that was hanging up in the house.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then he brings out the Universal Championship, which is now blue.
Yes.
That got changed on the show. It has a blue belt now.
Yeah.
Sure. He brings it out, and he kind of holds it up in front of him, and he just says, all you need to do, Daniel, you just got to say that magic word.
You know you want to.
I love the fact that Bray Wyatt is now using the Universal Championship to goad people into fighting him.
Yep.
People that he wants to fight. He's like, look what I've got. You can have this if you fight me.
Yeah.
Really, really like that character dynamic. It's great. But then it cuts back to Bryan. He just goes, no.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, and well, I thought they were going to build a Survivor Series with Bryan. I was like, oh, that's a bit weird.
But then. Cuts back and it's Abby the Witch who just goes, yes.
Cuts back to Bryan, who just goes, no.
And it cuts to Mercy the Buzzard, who goes, yes.
And again, back to Bryan, no.
And then it cuts to, do you know, I forget his name.
Huskus the Peep Boy. Huskus the Pig Boy, yeah.
Who just goes, oink, yes.
Oink, yes. And then again, Bryan says no. And then it
cuts to Ramblin' Rabbit, who says yes. And then Daniel Bryan just answers no to everyone. Like, he's not going to... He said, like, he's not going to go and play with you. He's like, I'm not going to play with you.
Not going to go play with your puppets.
He's like, I'm not going to play with your puppets. I'm not a puppet. And thinking, okay, cool. That's cool. You know, nice. He tried to goad him into it.
Yeah.
And it just... Daniel is just like, no, I'm not. No,
I'm not going to play your game.
Not on your terms.
Yeah.
No.
And then he says, I'm going to fight you. If we're going to fight, it's going to be for the Universal Championship at Survivor Series. And I was like, oh, I mean, I thought that's what Bray was offering anyway.
Yeah.
But Sure, I guess. Maybe I misread that in the first place.
Possibly. I mean, this could be just this idea of like you say, there's it happens a lot in the building of feuds where someone's trying to goad someone into the fight and the person will say, no, we're doing this on my terms, mm-hmm. not yours.
Yeah.
And, you know, Daniel Bryan has been around the industry for a very long time. He's also had history with Bray Wyatt. Mm-hmm. If this is the kind of thing where it's his first opportunity to say, I'm not going to give you the power in this situation, because when you have the power in situations, you just win.
Yes.
And you get your way. And he's not going trying not to give Bray Wyatt his way.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Yeah, it could totally work. I just thought that Bray said, I want to match at Survivor Series. And Brian was like, no, I don't want to match at Survivor Series. But you know what I do want? I want to match at Survivor Series.
I see.
Okay, right. Okay. But maybe I just misread that to start with. He says no a lot. He says he's not going to play with his puppets. And then he said, if they fight, it should be for the Universal Championship. What do you say, Bray? And then Bray really creepily just goes, yes. And then he starts saying yes. He starts doing the yes chant. And then he gets quicker and quicker. And just keeps doing yes, yes, and it, yes. And he gets crazed.
It does. Like, what starts as like, yes. Oh, nice. He's doing the callback.
He's doing yes.
Oh, he's still going. Yes. Gets more manic. Gets quicker. Almost gets angrier.
Yeah, yeah. He's getting like red in the face.
Oh, yeah.
With how really intensely he's saying yes at this thing. Gets a bit weird in a good way. Mm. But then I feel like that's where the show was supposed to end. This was the main event segment of the night.
Yeah.
This was the closing bit. I feel like that's where the show was supposed to end.
Yeah.
But Bray just carried on for a bit.
Yeah, he did.
And then it stopped. It cut back to the ring. And then Brian off mic just kind of asked Miz, he goes, are we done?
Yeah.
And then Miz just goes really awkwardly, there you have it.
Yeah.
It's Daniel Bryan versus The Fiend at Survivor Series for the Universal Championship. And then Bryan walks out of the ring, and that's how the show ends.
And that's how the show ends, yeah.
Which I felt was a very awkward, weird ending, but
it did seem a little bit stilted.
I think someone missed their cue. Maybe they just, they're like, oh, crap, we still got a minute left.
Yeah.
So then they just carried on.
Yeah, the ending that seemed a little bit stilted, but I think it was just like an honest mistake. It didn't really impact on the overall like, feel of the promo, which was really good.
So that's been confirmed. Daniel Bryan versus The Fiend at Survivor Series for the Universal Championship,
uh-huh.
or should we now call it the Blue Universal Championship?
Wow,
it's great. So, so that match. Thoroughly looking forward to.
Oh, yeah.
From an in-ring perspective, I think it's going to be great.
Oh,
I think from a story perspective, these two are two of the best character workers in WWE today. So I think having their history together, I still think that when Daniel Bryan left the Wyatt family after his brief run when he was part of it in a steel cage with Bray Wyatt when he turned back and he revealed his normal gear and he hit him with that running knee, that was genuinely one of the loudest yes chants I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, me too.
That was an incredible moment in Daniel Bryan's career.
It was.
And I think playing back off that and having Bray call back that feud and having them play off that story a bit more, I really want to see it done well.
Yeah.
And I think this is a really good start. I just feel like this build is coming a bit too late because Survivor Series is next weekend. We've got one more episode of SmackDown to go before, you know, we get onto Survivor Series itself. So I'd rather this had like a 3-4 week build, but instead it's kind of getting more of a 2 week build, which isn't as good, but
yeah, the timing seems odd.
It does.
But if they're going to make it work, they've got two people involved in this who can make it work.
Absolutely.
I have high hopes for this one.
Yeah, me too. So, like I said, I'm thoroughly looking forward to this.
Yeah.
This was a great way to end the show because now I'm looking forward to next week. I'm like, oh, I want to see what these two storytellers can do with each other's characters next week. It's a shame I couldn't say the rest for the rest of SmackDown. However, it was a good way to end. I think it really... It really goes to show that despite how much we've been saying that, you know, Bray Wyatt was ruined before in his old gimmick and all that stuff, people still respond really well to the storylines that were done really well. Like the Daniel Bryan in the Wyatt family feud, it wasn't the best storyline. Honestly, it ended pretty prematurely and there wasn't really a reason given for why Daniel Bryan left. They'd never really clarified that like, he was doing mind games. He was just playing with him and all that stuff. It was just kind of, but that moment when he left the Wyatt family was still an incredible moment.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing.
When he turned round and just the look on Bray's face of just, I see.
Yeah, ah, I see what you've done here.
Okay.
And then when Daniel Bryan's sitting on top of the cage and doing the yes chants and the whole crowd is doing it with
him. Oh, yeah.
It was amazing. So I think, yeah, calling back to that and playing off those moments and those storylines, it works for Bray Wyatt's character. It worked for Daniel Bryan's character. So I think this feud as a whole is a really good direction to take it. I think this is a really good next step after Bray Wyatt beat Seth Rollins. I think this is a really good, solid win that he can get over Daniel Bryan. I'm hoping he wins.
I really think so too. I don't think there's any... There's no reason for him to drop the title at all just yet.
Yeah.
And certainly no reason, with no disrespect to the man, certainly no reason for him to drop it to Daniel Bryan.
Absolutely, yeah.
Plus, it gives Bray's character so much more power, given, you know, this feud with someone who has been so massive in the industry for so long and someone who he's got a history with. Someone who, in that history, beat him.
Yes. Yeah.
So if he can now come back and say, well, now I'm going to destroy you, and does, you know, obviously we don't want to, you don't want to hurt Daniel Bryan too much.
Yeah.
So,
I think it should be
fine because, you know, you can trust Daniel Bryan to do the work and not hurt himself.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing with Daniel Bryan is however many losses he takes, he still feels like a big deal.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He lost to Adam Cole clean.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
He's going for the Universal Championship and it still feels perfectly fine. It's not like, oh, no, but he lost to the NXT champion. He's not worthy of a Universal.
There's not many that could actually realistically get away with that.
I know.
And so to take someone of that magnitude, that caliber, with the history he has with Bray, and put him directly into the story with Bray, it's a good move.
Oh yeah, it's a great move. I'm really glad they're going this route with these two.
Yeah.
It's a great feud to pick for Wyatt straight after he wins a title, and it's good for Bryan as well to put him back into a title feud, keep him as, you know, a main event big deal.
Yeah.
Even if he loses to The Fiend, that's not a bad thing because The Fiend is basically indestructible at this point.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, Daniel Bryan isn't going to be made to look weak.
No, exactly, yeah.
He's too good to be made to look weak.
Yeah, yeah, he's far too good for that.
Yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We've got to thank some other people, and that is our $25 and above pledge hammers on Patreon. If you've not visited our Patreon page, you should. Patreon.com/WrestleTalk. You can get all sorts of bonus content. You get a monthly pay-per-view review, which this month is going to be Survivor Series 1997, aka Montreal Screwjob. So that one Luke and Ollie will be reviewing for later on in the month. That's for the $5 pledge hammer tier. $10, you get your name in the credits, and you get an extra bonus podcast as well. $25 and above, you get these shout-outs right now. So thank you to Sean of the Dead Peril.
Beautiful. Woo, yeah.
Love and
you
get your
wonderful
own cheap
stuff.
Pop as well.
Like this one for We're Going on a Brian Huntley.
Woo! Woo. Yes, thank you. Robin Banks. Lee Roberts.
Oh,
nice. Yeah, Robin Banks.
Nice. He can last Sean for longer than you in the ring.
Hey! Longer than you
I'm
in the
sure
ring.
Sure he can.
Rebel without a crew, Robert Rodriguez.
Lovely,
oh, yes.
Lovely.
Thank you very much.
Float like a butterfly. Butterfly?
A butterfly.
I missed out an L there. Float like a butterfly, Sarmand Ali.
Sarmand Ali! Thank you. Duncan, just Duncan.
Oh, I'm not sure I can support that. It's stealing my brand. But I like it, Duncan. Butter me up, Soren Nord.
Woo, yes. Ryan B. Bad.
Love it. Love it. Fantastic. Stuff. And finally, Hall of Mania, Patrick Hall.
Woo, yes. Thank you very much, everybody, for your support on Patreon. But let's get into some super chats. Let's see what you guys Lovely. Thought. Tim Arndt said, what's the bet? The Fiend's lights will be blue now. It won't, actually. There was a dark match after the show, which was The Fiend versus Daniel Bryan, which was the advertised match for Survivor Series, and the lights were still red.
Ah, well, there we go.
So, red light's not going anywhere, and it definitely is still red. Will HM says, Michael Cole, have you ever met a tough guy named Kip? Is that a dig at AEW for Kip Sabian? Possibly. I don't know. I don't think he knows who Kip Sabian is, in all honesty, so.
Well, I remember hearing Cole say that. And for a split second, my mind went, yeah, same kind of thing with Kevin. Oh, wait, hang on. There was that big tall guy.
How about Kevin Owens or Kevin Nash?
Well, I was thinking Nash.
Or Kevin.
Nash is the big tall guy.
Or Kevin from Home Alone. Firefly.
Oh, he's tough. Oh, come on.
This is my house. I have to defend it. Firefly Fanhouse, Ender Madden said, I like the blue Universal Championship. I prefer it to the red Universal Championship. That much is for sure. I do prefer... I think the blue colour is easier on the eyes than the red was.
Yeah, I think it's a change that is going to take some getting used to.
Yeah,
But, yeah, it looks fine, you know?
Yeah, I think it's better than the red one. It's still not a good design. Let's get that out there. It's not a good design. Yeah. I still don't like it, but it's better than red.
Yeah.
Matthew Robinson said, weird, almost forgot NXT brought women from both sides of the War Games match. Wish there was more time between War Games and Survivor Series. Me too.
Yeah, with you on that.
We're going to talk about that a lot more when we get into the main portion
of
the show
absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely.
With that women's segment, because there's a lot to talk about. Mm-hmm. Valab Mamadipudi says, I read that very well. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I'm happy that the cranberry belt has turned into the blueberry belt. also, your parents are liars and let him in. Why are my parents liars? Why are you calling them out for?
Yes, I know, I remember that.
Oh, was that on the Firefly Funhouse
yes,
segment?
Yes, it was on the Firefly Funhouse segment, which I really liked.
When he made the title belt blue. Yeah, we'll talk about that later. But that was a funny segment.
Uh-huh.
Limps comes in with a generous donation saying, I'm amused at the depth of this Wyatt Bryan storyline, but I'm not so enthusiastic about the Fiend's character trajectory. Dude lost much of his magic at Hell in a Cell. Trying to stay positive, though. Chipping in for your tea, boys. Well, thank you very much for chipping in for the tea. I do agree. I think he lost a lot of his luster at Hell in a Cell. Again, I'm also like you and trying to stay positive. I still enjoy Bray Wyatt, and I'm glad he's Universal Champion. It just should have happened at Hell in a Cell, man.
Yeah, he did lose a lot of that sort of mystique and maybe even like some momentum at Hell in a Cell
Absolutely.
In a fairly big way. You know, he's gaining some of the momentum back. Obviously, Universal Champion, that happens. The Mystique, we may not get it in the same way as we did. Certainly not when he started. But as far as, like, his momentum goes, getting it back by becoming Universal Champion, and what better way to maintain it than going up against Daniel Bryan? With all that we've talked about just now, great way to maintain that momentum. It would take an anti-miracle for that momentum to now go.
So let's get into the main portion of the show.
Yes.
We're back to the non-live version now.
Yes.
The show started off with a video recap of Baron Corbin's promo from last week. It's still terrible. Mm-hmm. The epic music behind it did not help.
No, it
was bad. They had some piped in boos as well, which definitely weren't there last week. Nice try. This was the first of many video recaps on the show.
Did they have video recaps?
I had no idea.
No, me neither.
Genuinely, when I tune in for a show, I only watch it for like 5 minutes, and then I expect the video recaps to tell me everything else that
yeah,
happened.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, we had that video recap of Corbin, and then the actual show, the live show itself, started with Corbin.
Yeah.
Again.
Which, I'm okay with Corbin starting the show.
Every show, though.
I'm actually kind of okay with him starting, maybe not, perhaps not all, but it fits the character that he has, this King Corbin character of, like, I am the king. I should be opening the show. I'm the most important person here.
I think, yes, that fits his character to say, I should open every show. He shouldn't actually open every show.
That's fair.
And I think they should want to. I agree.
They could make something of that. Like, have him open a bunch of shows. Some, you know, a handful of shows in a row. And then when someone else does it, him just to come out and be like, no, I'm King Corbin. I open the show.
That would get nuclear heat from me. Just because I don't want Corbin to open the show. Again, it's nothing against Corbin. He's just being overpushed and stuff. He has a palanquin now. He has the sedan chair.
Yes, came out sedan with chair throne. Very nice addition to his personal effects.
I know, it was great.
Speaking of additions to his personal effects, he's got the glorious shafts as well.
Yay! I wrote here that it's such a shame because he's making the gimmick really work.
Yeah.
But it absolutely should not be a main event gimmick. He was pushed at exactly the right level. When he was having his feud with Shorty G, or if he's feuding over like the Intercontinental title or something, that is the perfect level for King Corbin. And that character and that gimmick and him as a whole, I think that's a perfect level for him. But now, when he's having a feud with Roman and he's getting back into main event scenes and he's opening and closing shows, it's too much, man, in the infamous words of... Oh, God, what's her name? Sarah Lynn from BoJack Horseman. Yeah, I did it. I made a reference. Anyway, you should watch that. It's a good show.
Well done. I tried. I didn't get into it.
Yeah, it's fair enough. It's very depressing. Anyway, Rude and Ziggler are already in the ring to start off the show. And the crowd seemed pretty hot for this. It's big boos for Corbin, which I guess means it's working.
Yeah, there's you suck chants going around, which is nice.
Yeah, I guess.
Not for him. For us.
Yeah, but also not for us, because I don't want it to actually work down the pushback of the main event again. And then I'll have another 3-month feud with Seth Rollins. Yeah. And then Rude and Ziggler look like absolute chumps throughout this whole thing. Corbin is just saying, it's my kingdom, blah, blah, blah. And then throughout the whole thing, Rude and Ziggler just walking around him, just nodding and going, yes, it's your kingdom. Yeah, it is your kingdom. This is your kingdom. Yes, you are right. All the time. And it's like, guys, shut up. God.
Yeah, it's annoying. It's like scenes out of 8 Mile. Where you've got all these people going, yeah, you're right. And Eminem's sitting there going, you said this last time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And they kind of did.
You're saying the same S word that he said.
Yeah.
In the infamous words of Eminem.
Uh-huh.
I mean, 2 references on this stream. What the
God,
hell?
God, we're doing well.
I know. Corbin then declares himself team captain for Survivor Series.
Yes.
Something. Ziggler and Rude pipe in and say they should have been on Team SmackDown and it should have been them. They'll beat Shorty G and Ali and take their place.
Yeah. Corbin was focusing quite heavily on the fact that the team of 5 for Team SmackDown, there are 2 like significant weak links, which obviously he believes to be Shorty G and Mustafa Ali, who has a first name again, which is nice. I'm happy for him.
First name.
I always preferred him as Mustafa. I preferred having Mustafa Ali to Ali.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just preferred it as a personal thing.
Yeah.
But I quite like the sort of the little throwaway, almost offhand. Oh, and by the way, hope Roman can pull his weight as well because he's a little bit step behind. Roman. But very much focusing on Mustafa Ali and Shorty G are the weak links of the team, apparently.
Absolutely,
Ziggles and Robert Roode are going to show them who's boss.
Yeah.
It would seem.
And that was all fine.
Yeah,
that bit was fine.
It would have been fine if, you know, just get into the match, you know, just go straight into the match.
We're going to beat Shorty G and Ali, and we're going to take their place for Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Cool, Shorty G and Ali come out and have a match. That's not what happens. Because instead, Corbin calls out Roman Reigns.
Yeah, he says he's going to invite Roman Reigns down to the ring. He does that wonderful thing that Corbin specifically does very well, which is the I'm the bad guy, but I'm going to take the moral high ground. And he says, come down, Roman, come down to the ring, because we're on the team together. We should all be able to coexist in the ring. And that would have been fine, you know, have Roman come down to the ring and, you know, Corbin can be doing his I'm taking the moral high ground, and Roman would have to sort of not submit, but be like, well, I'm going to try and take the moral high ground as well as the face in this situation. I'm not going to fight you either. And they can have all that tension building to something happening outside of the ring that doesn't affect the match while the match is happening. Wouldn't that have been great?
Would have been so much better than what actually happened.
Why don't you tell them what happened?
Because Corbin calls out Roman Reigns, says he should come out to the ring. We should coexist. That's cool. Roman's music hits. And a dog mascot comes out onto the ring, like a person in a dog costume, like you'd see, like a sports mascot thing, comes out onto the stage. They've remixed Roman Reigns' theme so that at the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, all of those are now chihuahua barks, which is really bad. Yeah. The dog mascot thing comes down to the ring. He does an ooh-ah thing. And then Corbin makes it do tricks and it bends the knee.
Yep.
And that is awful.
Yeah, this is...
Jesus Christ, what am I watching?
This is just not good stuff. Like, the only good thing to come out of that was Michael Cole just leaning in and really casually just going, could be the Goldie Gooker.
That is a very rare, really good Michael Cole line.
Yes. Yes, 100%.
Very rare, but very good when they happen.
And we cherish them when they do, especially exactly, when it's the backdrop to it was just this, like, it's... I don't even have words to describe this.
How bad this is?
Yeah, and like we always say every time, this isn't on Corbin.
No, like, it's not on Corbin.
He's every week he comes out there, he's doing his best.
He was really trying, and he's getting into it, and he's doing the chihuahua barks along with the thing, and it's almost funny. If it wasn't terrible, it would be funny.
Yeah.
But the problem is, it's terrible. And I think the worst part of all of this, I mean, the dog being a dog and coming out and doing the tricks and whatever, that's one thing.
Yeah.
Why didn't Roman come out during any of this?
Exactly.
During any of this. This guy is laying into you, and he was laying into you last week. He beat you last week, and now he's coming out, and he's making fun of you, and he's got a dog mascot and all that stuff. Why aren't you coming out to beat him up?
Yeah, like, you are one of the top people in the company, right? You have this upper mid-carder. Just laying into you with these terrible things. He brings out a dog mascot. At that point, as Roman Reigns, you come out, you spear the mascot.
Like, yeah.
Like, immediately, obviously, you spear the mascot. And then you either sort of stand at the top of the ramp properly, like, roiding out, going, yeah, you're going to do that to me? I'm going to make your life a living hell, mate.
Yeah.
Or you just don't stop and you just spear through. Don't even stop moving.
Yeah.
Just cut the mascot in half.
Yep.
Some poor jobber who thought WWE was going to be his big break has just died for this. But hey, it'll make a good spot. And just go and make Corbin's life miserable.
Yeah.
For what he's trying to do the same to you.
Exactly.
But it didn't happen.
It doesn't come out until much later on. And even then it was a problem.
Yeah.
I've written here as well. It's like Vince has just realized that Roman is called the big dog. And he's just gone, oh my God, it's got the word dog in it. There's so many things we can do. There's so much dog-based humor.
My God, there's so much material.
In the infamous words of Vince himself, according to John Moxley on the podcast, this is such good S-word. This is the worst kind of Vince. This is terrible. And I hate it with a passion. But it led into a tag team match with Shorty G and Mustafa Ali versus Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler for this Team SmackDown spots. And in-ring-wise, this was a very good match.
This was a fine match. Really good. Yeah. There was some great action from basically everyone involved.
Yep.
You know, Shorty G had some really nice offense early on. You know, he was sort of slipping out of moves. He was getting some good arm drags in. You know, there was some nice offense from Ali when he got in. Versus Dolph, and then Dolph was taking back control, getting tags into Roode, cheap shots here and there. It was good, nice action.
Yeah,
it really was.
It was very fun. At one point, Corbin ran distraction, and Ali gets knocked into the commentary table, which is when Roman Reigns finally decides to come out.
That's when Roman comes out.
for some reason, not when he was getting insulted, but because Corbin ran distraction, sure, whatever. Roman Reigns comes out, I'm like, oh, cool, Roman Reigns is going to come out, spear Corbin, he's going to beat the hell out of him, maybe beat up the mascot, that'll be fun.
Ah.
Roman Reigns comes down.
Ad break.
Ad break. That's what you really want.
Swerved.
I know. So then I was like, oh, okay.
And the sad thing is that when you come back from ad breaks, you come back and just everything's completely different. Mm-hmm. The whole scene of a match has changed. What happened here was almost on a different level of being just as bad, because we came back from an ad break and between Roman and Corbin, nothing had happened.
Genuinely nothing.
Roman had come down and gone. He was standing by one of the ring posts.
Yeah.
And Corbin was standing at the other ring post, holding his scepter up, going, no, don't you come near me. And Roman was basically doing this. He was like, I'm here.
Why aren't you beating up Corbin?
Just go and kill him.
Corbin isn't even in the match. It's not like you'd be costing your friends the match via DQ or anything.
There can be no disqualification.
Just beat up Corbin, man, you moron. Anyway.
But that didn't happen.
In-ring action was still very good, though.
Yeah.
Like, back to it.
You had, like, Ali just eating a Famouser.
Yeah,
it was great. Which was lovely, but then Ali, like, nearly super kicked Ziggler's head off.
Which was fun.
Which was awesome.
Shorty G got a hot tag, hit a big moonsault.
Yep.
There was the super zigzag.
Yep.
To Shorty G, and Ali broke it up.
Yep.
Shorty G countered a super kick. He rolled him through into an ankle lock, which looked really cool.
Uh-huh.
Rude broke that up, and then it looked like Rude wanted to get the scepter from Corbin.
Yeah, this was a weird moment, because Rude was excuse me, he was like asking Corbin very clearly to give him the scepter.
Mm-hmm.
And what was weird about it was Corbin seemed to capitulate and seemed to be like, yeah, go on.
Have the scepter.
Have my royal scepter.
Which, you know,
given the way he acted when someone stood on his plastic crown, was a bit odd. I didn't think he'd go for it, but sure, he went for it, but it never happened.
Never happened, because Roman Reigns came out of nowhere to hit a drive-by onto Baron Corbin, which, you know, Rude then pushes Reigns into the table. Ali hit a dive, and then Reigns hit a spear on Corbin, and then back in the ring, there was a Chaos Theory German suplex from Shorty G. Ali hit the 450 on Ziggler for the win.
Yeah.
And then Ali's music plays for a bit, and then it's time for Roman Reigns' theme, because he's the real star here, kids.
Yeah, Roman Reigns' music gets played. So you say Shorty G and Mufasa Ali are off to Survivor Series.
You just call him Mufasa Ali.
Oh, God, did I? admittedly, I was watching Lion King not so long ago. And
long live the king, Corbin!
Corbin lays out Roman Reigns the end of days. Rude and Ziggler come up behind him without looking, just goes, kill him.
They are the hyenas here, for sure.
But Mustafa Ali.
Yes, Mustafa Ali.
Mustafa Ali and Shorty G.
Going to Survivor Series. Yeah.
Working well together as a team.
Sure.
Which is nice, you know. Make them a tag team.
Put Shorty G in another tag team. Why not? See if this one works.
Yeah, it hasn't worked out for him so well previously, but maybe this one. I mean, if they put those two in a tag team and don't call it Ali G in the house, then what are we even doing here? Just have that Chaos Theory German suplex into 450. Make that their tag team finisher. Call it the Booyaka Shot and just have done with it.
And give them a manager called Majuli.
Yeah, why not?
Perfect.
Why not?
We then get the announcement of Nikki Cross versus Bayley. If Nikki wins, she's on Team SmackDown at Survivor Series. And then we have announcement of Miz TV with Daniel Bryan later on, which is fine, whatever. We get a recap of the Fiend's attack from last week.
Yep.
Sure. We then get a very quick Firefly Funhouse segment where Bray changes the Universal title into blue.
Yes, he does. He says he thinks that something's not quite right, and then he spins around and suddenly he's a magician in a cloak.
Yeah, he's got a little cape and the gloves, got the hat, got the wand.
It's wonderful.
It's cool. He turns the Universal title to blue, and he's happy about that.
Yeah, he says some weird magic words that sound... I mean, I think the first bit sounded something like regular magic MacGuffin words or something, and then at one point, in the magic words are the words, your parents are liars, which I quite liked.
That's good. He says he's going to be watching Miz TV, he'll be watching, and he'll be watching too, which was, you know, a nice little moment. We then cut back and we get a replay of the match that just happened. Come on, guys, we don't have that short-term memory loss. Jesus. Corbin's then backstage with his dog, Rude and Ziggler. And Rude and Ziggler are saying that they should still be on the team for Team SmackDown, even though they lost. And Corbin says, as their king, he will fix it for them.
Yeah. I mean, a couple of things with this. Firstly, like, why is the dog still there? Secondly, was I the only one who was expecting the person in the dog costume to be a member of the roster?
Yeah, I think you were. Damn. I wasn't.
I had hopes.
Mm.
Obviously not Roman himself, because surely not.
Yeah.
But I thought it might be someone. I don't know, like a member maybe of like Team Hogan. I don't know.
Oh yeah,
Hogan guess himself.
A member of Team Braun? Team SmackDown? I don't know. I tell you what, though. It's going to happen next week, though, isn't it?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, isn't it?
Roman's going to be in it next week.
Oh, no.
He's going to come out. Corbin's going to come out with his dog mascot. And everyone thinks it's just a normal dog mascot. And he's going to make him do some tricks in the ring. He's going to bend the knee. And he's going to do it.
Yeah, he's going to do all these things.
He's going to bend the knee. And he's going to do all the tricks that he wants. And then when Corbin goes, ha, ha, ha. And he's going to turn away. And then boom, spear as he comes back in. And Roman's going to take the head off and be like, it was me.
And it won't matter.
And it won't matter because you already did all the things that Corbin wanted you to do.
He's already been humiliated.
Jesus Christ. It's going to be terrible.
Yeah, but Vince will like it.
Vince will love it.
Oh, yeah.
We then get a video recap of Tyson Fury and Braun Strowman becoming best friends last week. Braun Strowman then comes out and he annihilates Drew Gulak in the B team. There is nothing more to say about this, because why is Braun still beating up people? Drew Gulak said, here's how I'll keep it simple. I can save Team SmackDown.
Yeah.
And Braun goes, I don't care. And then he just beats them all up. And then that's that. I don't care about seeing Braun Strowman beat up three people. Not in 2019.
He doesn't need to anymore.
Not even close. It's been 3.5 years since he split from the Wyatt family and started beating people.
Yeah.
And it worked then, and it got him over because it was a build. Because he started off beating one person, and then two people, and then three people, and then he got into a feud.
And it was a good feud.
Yeah, with really Sami Zayn. Feud. It was a good feud. And then 2019 is not the time for him to still be beating up three random people.
No.
He should be having feuds. You know,
one of them shouldn't like be Drew Gulak.
Yeah. God. Jesus. Anyway, yeah, it's whatever. Braun beats him up.
It seemed like there was, like, I'm looking through the notes I've made and I'm remembering it. There was no stakes here. It's not even like there was low stakes. There was no stakes to this at all. Braun just beat up
three
people.
This was a vegetarian segment. There were no stakes.
Wow.
New Day backstage afterwards. They cut a promo in guerrilla position. There's some local sports team references.
Yes, yes.
The Patriots were there.
Yeah.
And some other team.
I understand this. I'm properly Captain America.
You sports?
I'm properly Captain America here. I understood that reference.
Okay.
I do sports. I don't do sports. Like, you know.
But you sports,
I
though.
Sport.
Okay.
I have been known to sport on occasion.
Okay.
You know.
So do they have beef? Does Kofi support another team?
Basically, Kayla once again got the golden ticket of being able to interview the New Day backstage, so she's probably like on cloud nine right now.
Yeah.
And she's asking, like, if, you know, as the New Day defend their tag titles, will they be a successful, you know, this without Xavier Woods at ringside? And Big E's responses to this being, is a pig's tiddly bit pork? Sure it is, Big E. But
Big
no,
E is a gift.
Big E's got more questions for us.
Okay.
And he says someone, I'm not sure what he says here, but it sounded like he was saying Megan Thee Stallion. I'm not sure who he's referring to, but he asks, is she a gift on this earth that we should forever be grateful for? I mean, Big E is the gift on this earth that we should ever be grateful for. And then he kind of calls out Kofi's team, where he's like, did the Philadelphia Eagles... Oh, what are you looking up?
It's Megan Thee Stallion. That's a person, apparently.
Who is that?
I don't know. We're finding out. You keep talking. I'm finding out.
Yeah, he then calls out Kofi's team. He's like, did the Philadelphia Eagles beat the Pats, basically, to become 2018 Super Bowl champions? And Kofi's just like, wow, you went there. You actually went there. And Big E just like, yeah, I did. But it's all jokes and laughs between those two, because they love each other and they love Xavier, because he's always with them in their hearts, which is the important thing. And yeah, they're going to go out there and try and win. Yes. And then Big E's just like, Kayla, Mike. and just launches directly
straight into his intro.
Directly into his intro. Is he getting even more into his intro now?
I would be if I was
him. I think he is, and I'm about it.
Yeah, he's great. I love Big E, and he's a gift. Megan Thee Stallion is an American rapper, singer, actress, and songwriter. The more you know. She was born in 1995. It's really depressing. She's born 2 years after me.
4 years after me.
I know. Crazy. Anyway, yeah, so the New Day do their entrance.
Yep, and then...
Then we get an ad break,
yep.
And then we get a backstage segment, because what is an order? Daniel Bryan's backstage. Sami and Shinsuke come in, and they're continuing this story of Sami Zayn trying to recruit Daniel Bryan into his little stable, although they weren't with Cesaro this time. Don't know where he's gone, but apparently he's still there.
I think Cesaro's only been with them twice.
I want to say once.
And
I don't know.
He's there, and
he was mentioned. I think
he was mentioned by name, and yeah. Sammy's basically saying he knows we know the Fiend is watching.
Yeah,
right. Like, we need an answer tonight.
Yep.
Do you want to join our super secret team?
And Daniel just goes, nope. And he says, hey, if you're saying all the things that you're saying, why'd you run away last week?
Yeah.
And which is like, yeah, fair point.
I quite like sort of Shinsuke just like sitting at the back, and Sami's doing his brilliant heel Sami Zayn bluster. He's like, you know, I thought you were running with me. I could almost feel you behind me. And also I was going to get Shinsuke. And
yeah,
he just cuts
And he's saying, no, I've had enough, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to join you.
Doesn't need your help, you know.
Don't need your help. But, you know, Braun Strowman would be great for you.
He's like, you're missing something. It's Braun.
I was like, say, what now? And then Sami goes, oh, not Braun, mouths off against Braun.
His whole thing is just like, we are artists, we are poets, we are intellectuals, he's just big and strong.
And then Braun Strowman is suddenly there.
Yeah.
And again, Sami is such a good heel. And he's like, oh, I didn't know you were there. You're so quiet.
I've got the exact description he uses of him.
Okay.
He says he's big and quiet. Like a supple leopard.
Again, Sami is a gift.
Yep.
And then they just go, we're just going to go now. And then they kind of walk off.
Don't find us, we'll find you.
Don't find us, we'll find you. They walk off.
Yeah.
So as great as Sami is, and Sami is great, don't get me wrong here. This is a storyline that's been built for quite a few weeks now. Since before Crown Jewel, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And this is the payoff for Daniel Bryan just to go, no. And that's it. And this is a really subtle, cool story they've been telling.
Yeah.
We don't know. There's a lot of mystique, a lot of mystery. We don't know what side Daniel Bryan is on.
Exactly.
He seems to be intrigued by Sammy's offer. He's not, like, being annoyed by him or anything. He's just kind of he's a blank slate. You don't really know what he's thinking the whole time. So then for him to just go, like, nah, and then walk off, it was like, well, that's a bit underwhelming.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, you know, Daniel Bryan's got his own thing coming up, you know, with his Survivor Series stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it leaves Sami kind of on the fence. I mean, sure, he's got Nax, and I guess he's got Cesaro.
Cesaro, question mark.
But the whole situation revolving around Sami, Nakamura, and Cesaro, potentially with Daniel Bryan involved in whatever way, whether he was a part of it, whether he was actively going to be against it, and have that kind of interplay between them, we were really invested in that. We thought it was going to be really quite interesting to see how that would play out. And for him to just say, nah, but by the way, Braun's around, you know, have you thought about asking Braun? Now, Sami and Braun, big fan. Big fan of those two working together. We've already seen it. And that in itself is quite an intriguing, tantalizing prospect, because we've seen Braun when he wasn't the in-room worker he is now.
Yep.
Versus super babyface Sami Zayn.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be really interested to see great Braun versus super heel Sami Zayn.
I mean, I know how that would go. It would end in 2 seconds, and Braun would win.
Yes, but I think you could get some fun stuff out of it. Like,
possibly.
If they were willing to let them work for a little bit more than 2 seconds, we know they can work pretty well together.
Sure. Yeah, I guess so. But regardless,
Braun versus Cesaro.
Braun versus Cesaro, I can dig.
That could be fun.
That would be very fun. Yeah, so regardless, I thought that was a little bit underwhelming. But then we get the New Day. Oh, remember when Big E and Kofi made their entrance? Now we're getting back to that.
Yes.
Because it's now time for New Day versus Revival.
Several hours later.
Yeah, and this was a very fun match.
Oh, yeah.
I thought this was a great match.
I really
good in-ring work for all of them. There was a, it went through an ad break. Dawson tags and Kingston avoids an elbow sent on. I've written, I don't know what he went for, but yeah. Dawson kind of leapt off and fell on the mat on his back. I don't know what he was going for, but it was something. Kofi came back into it. Big E gets the hot tag, and he slams Wilder around for a bit. Wilder gets his knees up on the splash. Big E hit a massive Uranagi in the corner, which I love.
Uranagi.
It's so, so good. And then it gets towards the end. The Revival come back and Kingston hit a big dive, and then there's a DDT. Revival go for the double hanging DDT, and they call out Randy Orton, which is like a nice throwback to FTRKO, which was a fun little stable they had.
Yeah.
The Revival, they catch Kofi's dive and just throw him into the ring post. They're just like, yeet, just straight in, face first, bonk, and
you
great.
Go over there.
Yeah, which was great. Big E gets caught with a shatter machine and Kofi broke it up with a dive. And then Undisputed Era came out. They interfere. They beat down both the New Day and the Revival. And they stand tall. They beat him up on the outside. They beat him up on the inside of the ring.
Yeah,
they're standing tall like.
You had Adam Cole and Roddy Strong just dragging Kofi out of the ring and just administering this beatdown. They smash his torso over the barricade. And I thought, oh, Adam Cole and Roddy Strong here, and then they cut to the other side of the ring where Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish are just taking it to the Revival as well.
It's great, yeah.
Yeah.
So this was fun because this is what they didn't do with Imperium.
Yes.
So this is when Undisputed Era came out. They beat down four people.
Yep.
So it wasn't like they had a numbers advantage.
Two teams.
It was two teams versus the one stable of Undisputed Era. They beat them down. They hit good moves. They hit the tag team finisher, Total Elimination slash High Low. Called both, I think. They hit that twice, and they were all standing there like, yeah, we're on a Undisputed Era.
Yeah.
We're really cool. And that's when the rest of the SmackDown roster came down, and they chased them off, which is fine, because like seven of them came down.
This is why it works. It works so much better with Undisputed Era than it could possibly have worked with Imperium, because Imperium's whole thing is, we're better than you, and we're classy about it. Like, we look the part.
They respect the rules. That's the thing, Imperium.
So
that's
when Imperium came in, beat down two dudes, admittedly big dudes, but beat down two dudes and got chased off by five people, and they scattered, and they looked disorganized. That's the thing. They looked disorganized, and Imperium are not supposed to look disorganized.
Yeah.
Undisputed Era are much more of the opportunistic ones. So when they take on two teams at the same time, then get chased off, and they scatter, it works.
Exactly. It makes sense. And that is a tiny, tiny little difference.
Oh, yeah.
But it makes and breaks a segment. Because that Imperium one, I really didn't get on board with. The Undisputed Era one, I really like. And I like both of these teams, Imperium and Undisputed Era. It's not like a personal preference thing. It's just because it works for Undisputed Era. They look like a cohesive unit.
Yep.
They beat down two separate sides of teams
both
together.
Current and previous champions.
Exactly. Beat them down and then got scared off by a lot more people. And they go, that's more numbers than we can handle. Let's get out of here.
Going.
That's fine. Imperium hit Otis with like a boot and then got chased off, and that was
it didn't work, but here it worked really well. And this whole segment match from start to finish was really good. You had great in-ring action. You had, I thought, a nice side of not a nice side, but like an interesting side of the Revival, where sort of last time they tried this kind of heelish skullduggery and it didn't work. So this time they've literally just went back to, what do we do best? We isolate the weaker one. We don't let Big E get in. When he does, we make sure he's out as soon as possible. We go back to Kofi.
Yeah.
Like, they know they can't hang with Big E in terms of brute strength. They know they can't really hang with Kofi in terms of, I'm just going to get up from anything you do to me. But they can still beat him down. They cut him. You know, they're always talking about how they're the best at cutting the ring in half. But the commentary team has a point there.
Yeah, they're
so
really good at it.
They just went go back to what they do best.
Yeah.
And it
Which
does
nice.
Nearly work.
Yeah, it was great.
Because the match ends in a DQ, basically.
Yeah, and that was fine. Totally okay with that. So then we get an ad break, and then we get a replay of the Undisputed Era interference that just happened.
Literally just happened.
Jesus Christ. Come on, guys. Fenton! Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ, Fenton!
Fenton! And then Heavy Machinery, who ran down as part of the SmackDown roster to chase the Undisputed Era, are still there in the ring.
I quite like how they ran down with Lucha House Party and Apollo Crews. He's back. And also Heath Slater for a split second, I think I saw there.
Are they a team?
Apollo Crews and Heath Slater.
Maybe. I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know. They could be. Anyway, Heavy
Machinery.
It was
nice to see that he's alive still.
Yeah, that's good. Heavy Machinery is still there. Yep. They take on some jobbers. I have one note about this match, and it says they win.
Yep. In a shock twist, an absolute swerve that no one was expecting, Heavy Machinery defeated the team of Kevin Tibbs and Kip Stevens.
I'm surprised you wrote their names down.
Oh, I like to make a note of these things. You never know. In 15 years' time, When Kevin Tibbs is the second Universal Champion, as in the champion of the second year, I don't know. I don't know. I'm talking about the future when Kevin Tibbs is a champion.
Okay,
it's gonna happen.
It's gonna happen. Totally.
It's not.
Heavy Machinery win. It's whatever. Yeah. Otis is still great, but I don't care about squash matches. It's the same thing with Viking Raiders.
Exactly.
It's the same with Braun Strowman. These squash matches are not really doing anything. We've seen all of Heavy Machinery's offense. They've been having feuds.
Yeah.
You can't then do feuds and then take them back to squash matches again.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, they need... I don't know who it's going to be, but Heavy Machinery, you know, they had a bit of losses happening where it was very unfortunate that they did, and it was too many in a row. Even in that sort of the however many team it was, longest name in the world, stupid, ridiculous, go for it.
Oh, you know, that largest tag team turmoil match to determine the World Cup for the best tag team in the world. I almost screwed it up there.
Nearly, but you got there in the end. You rescued that well.
Rescued it.
Yeah, when they were looking okay in that, they took out one, two teams, I think, and then were just gone because better teams existing, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, they've had unfortunate times, but to just throw squash match after them, for one thing, it's not squash, it's wrestling. Sorry, I had to. Even I feel bad about that one.
That was bad.
Yeah. But they need something legitimate.
Yes.
Because they are a legitimately great team. You can't just keep... Well, I think they are. You can't just keep throwing squash matches at them.
They're a fun team.
They are, but they're not just a fun team. They're not a one-trick pony team.
They're a fun team.
Don't you disrespect Heavy Machinery in front of me. I love them. But they need a legitimate team challenge at some point.
Yeah, they do. I
don't know who
that's
going to be.
Yeah, tag division's looking kind of thin. So
yeah.
Who knows?
Rude and Ziggler.
Yeah, totally. And then we get more video recaps.
Oh, more? Oh, good. I was missing out.
Great. These ones recapped all of Bayley and Shayna's interferences. Bayley came in on NXT this week, hit her new facebuster thingy, which looks cool, onto the title belt, which was a nice spot from NXT.
Yep.
Bayley's backstage with Banks having a backstage interview. Bayley says that every time she's got in the ring lately, it's been personal because now it's finally about her, which is a really cool line. Banks says that Nikki can't prove herself because Bayley's beaten her countless times and Banks has already beaten her. So why is she having a chance to prove herself then?
Yeah. You'd have thought they'd just be like, no.
Yeah. Well, whatever. Logic. I still really like heel Bayley.
Yeah. I'm a big fan
of
heel Bayley.
It's great. Nikki Cross makes her entrance. But before we can have the match, it's time for more video packages.
No.
Yes.
Oh,
this time, about the WrestleMania 36 on sale party from Tampa, Florida. Tickets are on sale now.
Great.
And then we get a video recap of the opening tag match.
Oh, man. So many.
Why?
I don't get it. It's I don't even know whose fault that is. It's just the people splicing it together, I guess.
I think they didn't have enough content for this show. So they're like, we're going to play loads of replays, especially with happened at the end when they were like, oh God, we've still got a minute left.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
I think they didn't have enough content for this show. They were like, we'll do a load of replays.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
Yeah.
We get confirmation of a six-man tag match next week. Roman Reigns, Shorty G, and Mustafa Ali taking on King Corbin, Robert Roode, and Dolph Ziggler.
Can't wait for that one.
Riveting.
Yep.
We then get Nikki Cross versus Bayley, which was what was slated to happen before.
Yeah, I liked seeing Nikki back in her traditional colours.
Did she change?
Well, no, I mean, like, in previous matches, she's been wearing sort of light purples and sort of verging on pinks and stuff. And this week, she was back in the dark blue and the grey that she used to wear back in the day. And I just like the change back. I think it's... I don't want to give too much credit where no credit is due, but a sort of subtle change back to her, going back to her, how scrappy she was before, and basically she needs to get back on a rise. So, I don't know. I just like her going back to her traditional colours.
I think you just like Nikki Cross.
Big fan of Nikki Cross.
I think that's all it is.
Big fan of
Nikki Cross. I think you're reading it way too much.
I could well be, but I liked it. Also, I've decided I really like Bailey's entrance music. I was on the fence before. I know people have said it's a little bit... What's the word I'm looking for here?
Generic.
Yes, exactly that.
Yep.
Exactly that. People said it's a bit generic. Yeah, I agree at the start, but it's grown on me.
It's all right. The match barely gets underway before Shayna Baszler comes out. She slides into the ring, and then Bayley's like, ha, no, I'm all right this time. She gets out and jumps into the crowd, but swerve!
But wait, there's more!
There's more. There's so much more, because Tegan Nox, Dakota Kai, Mia Yim, and Rhea Ripley are all there in the crowd being like, hey, Bayley, sup, B? And then they body slam her back over the barrier.
Sup, B?
Like, because it's Bayley. You get it?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. And then they body slam her back into the ring. There's a big schmoz that happened. A load of SmackDown women come out.
A big what?
Schmoz. You know what schmoz is.
No.
Yeah. They all come out.
I'm sorry, do I?
Yeah.
My mistake.
Yeah. There's a big brawl that happens.
There you go, a brawl.
Loads of NXT SmackDown women getting involved. Bayley evaporates, I think. She just kind of vanishes. And then there's a 4-on-4 match that's set up.
Yeah, Sasha kind of gets on the mic and's like, oh, you're trying to take the spotlight. All right, well, I'm going to give you the spotlight.
Yeah.
Now, I hadn't noticed it as much when this has happened at other times.
Mm-hmm.
It's so very obvious when it happens here.
Yes.
Because firstly, and I know you pointed this out before as well, all four of those invaders from NXT have significant, in many cases, issues or beef. I believe I'm saying that right. Is that the way the kids are saying it these days?
Supposedly, yes.
Got beef.
Got beef. Fam.
With Shayna Baszler.
Yes.
So why are they the four who come to back her up?
I know. Rhea Ripley on Twitter has tried to, you know, justify it and said,
yeah,
just so you guys know, we're not backing up Shayna Baszler. We're backing up NXT because Bayley came in. And it's like, well, yeah, but Bayley came in to attack Baszler.
Yeah.
So that still doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that's what you want to do anyway.
Exactly, which it just doesn't make sense.
That is its own thing. But what was even more obvious to me was when she was introducing the idea of the match to the NXT invaders, when they were standing out on the ringside, on the apron, mm-hmm. went to get into the match as it was happening, and at the end of the match, for whatever result happened, like, Sasha is standing right next to Nikki. They're standing together. While Nikki is wrestling, Sasha is, like, applauding and supporting. But what happened to 10 minutes ago when they were, like, at each other's throats?
Literally like a blood feud.
There's a feud happening.
And it gets completely thrown out the window because brand supremacy's here. And that is way more important than any other emotional feud that you've got. Doesn't matter. You hate someone, put your feelings on hold because SmackDown is truly in your hearts.
Yeah.
It sucked. Sasha Banks, Nikki Cross, Dana Brooke, and Carmella took on Rhea Ripley, Tegan Nox, Dakota Kai, and Mia Yim. How the hell is Yim wrestling after Wednesday? What a trooper.
Yeah.
Don't understand, but she's great. There's some really nice sequences in this match. But then after an ad break, it comes back and everyone hits their big moves. Everyone gets in the protect your neck. There's a super kick. There's some other things that happen. Dakota Kai is in against Nikki Cross. She hits a scorpion kick. But out of nowhere, Nikki Cross hits her swinging neck breaker. She picks up the win for the SmackDown team. So NXT lose. And then NXT guys try to attack people after the bell, and
all
then
the rest of the
SmackDown come down and send them packing.
Yeah.
So NXT lose, and they get sent away without standing tall.
Yeah, it wasn't...
NXT's the cool brand, everybody.
It wasn't a great showing
in that regard.
Like, they looked okay. They looked fine in the ring, like we say, with so many of these matches. The in-ring action was fine.
They looked fine in the ring against Dana Brooke and Carmella. Yeah, it was great.
I mean, you make a good point. I mean, Rhea Ripley had a really, really nice little segment with Sasha Banks.
Yeah, she did.
With a lot of counters going on, a lot of good hits, like Sasha eventually getting her into the bank statement, which Ripley took about 3 nanoseconds to get out of because she's Rhea Ripley. But yeah, it just, they didn't look great at the end.
No, not at all.
They really didn't. And
wasn't fun.
And that almost overshadowed the fact that the whole point of the match to start with, before the invasion happened, was if Nikki Cross cannot beat Bayley, Nikki Cross does not go to Survivor Series. Well, Bayley, as we know, got dragged through a wormhole somewhere.
Yeah, she just Thanos.
She just vanished. She's gone. So yeah. Does Nikki get to go to Survivor Series?
We don't know. Sasha was very keen to have Nikki on her team for some reason. So is she now going to be impressed because Nikki got the win for SmackDown? Maybe she's going to be like, you know what? I respect you now, and you're going to be on Team SmackDown or something stupid.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
I doubt it.
And if any of the NXT people had to lose, I'm glad it was Dakota Kai, because she's not the one that's in the War Games match at War Games.
Exactly.
That was a good choice. However, couldn't Dana Brooke or Carmella have taken the pin? Can you just have NXT win?
Yeah. Wouldn't that be better? Yeah.
To make your new upcoming brand look good? I don't know. Maybe that's outside the box thinking.
Another thing I quite liked here, and like how they've been building it, is the use of Shayna Baszler. Mm-hmm. And what makes it interesting is I didn't think I'd like it.
Okay.
Knowing what they've done, I didn't think it's the kind of thing I would like, because when she started, as we all know, a couple of weeks ago, she just literally RKO'd it. She came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And just, it was, suddenly she's here, impact things are happening, people are getting hurt.
Yeah.
And that was that. And as they've been using her, as the weeks have progressed, she's been coming in earlier and earlier to matches, and with less impact.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird that I didn't think I'd like this, but I really do. She's like a shark.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the initial attack is sudden, and you're dead.
Yeah.
Careful. Nearly hit my laptop.
Yeah.
That's the first one. Now, with this one, with less than a minute, she's in the ring, but she's just sauntering up. She's just so confident. She's like, yeah, I'm here. Look at me approach. Look at me coming in. What are you going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
And when she left, she was just like, nah, I'm out of here. Got my title. I'm gone.
Yeah.
I like how they're using it, and I didn't think I would, but yeah. I do.
Didn't really pick up on that, but that's nice. So yeah, after that whole NXT debacle happens, they run down the Survivor Series card, and then we get the Miz TV main event that we've already spoken about.
Yes.
So that is SmackDown. I thought this was a pretty meh episode of SmackDown, because the dog mascot to start off. NXT
it was off
looking
to a
like,
bad start.
It's a bad start. NXT looked like idiots. And they're teaming despite the War Games storylines and Nikki and Sasha, and I didn't like that. The payoff to the Sami Bryan feud was essentially nothing. And just all the video recaps in the world. Good God. I thought this was pretty boring. The two saving graces, the New Day Revival match and the Undisputed Era running in, was pretty good. And the Bray Bryan stuff I thought was pretty good again, building a solid story out of it. So for me, that takes it to a slap bang in the middle, a 3 out of 5 for me.
I would happily give it a slap bang in the middle as well, 3 out of 5 for me as well. Like, the episode itself was off to a rough start, and it was weird. The episode itself seemed to lack momentum,
mm-hmm.
which is weird. But like you said, there were aspects of it that went quite a long way to trying to save it and quite a long way towards succeeding. Obviously, say, the Bray Bryan stuff, that's something that is genuinely very exciting.
Yeah.
Very excited for that. Excited to see how it's going to play out, what kind of passings are going to come into it. As you say, the NXT Women Invaders look good in the ring, but they sort of looked a little bit weakened as a force. But the Undisputed Era able to rescue it for NXT with what they did, which was fantastic. The in-ring action was very good, as a general rule of thumb. Mm-hmm. Usually is.
Yeah.
Like, there's very little wrong with the in-ring action. It's just what it's built around doesn't really help it. It doesn't carry it the way it could help to carry it.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, some of these options like Miz TV coming in at the end, it's nice to see that being like the sort of main thing. It's quite cool. It's a bit different. Also, just thought I'd mention, when he mentioned the name of the pay-per-view, Miz did kind of sound like he called it Crown Drool, which I'm about. I hope that was deliberate. Don't know if it was, but I hope it was.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I'd put this slap bang in the middle. I'd put it sort of almost as central can be within that great boundary.
Fair enough. So we've actually got something a bit different today. We've got a little poll because Ollie did a poll on the community tab on YouTube to see what people thought of SmackDown, because the edited review hasn't been up as of the time of recording.
Uh-huh.
The edited review is currently not up on YouTube yet, so we'll get some votes on that as well. But on the community tab, 9,600 votes.
Whoa.
In this poll.
Nice, guys and girls.
So what did people think of it? Well, vast majority agreed with us. 56% of people saying it's smack bang in the middle. 17%, slightly higher with Smacktastic, and 13% saying Smackdowner. So it's very kind of centralized in those middle three options for sure.
Yeah.
10% said a smack in the face, and 5% said Smacknificent.
Fair enough.
So yeah, mostly pretty average is what we call this episode for sure. But now, let's get into the rest of the super chats that came in on the stream before the stream died a death.
Yes.
Let's get into some of the more of these. So, Matthew Robinson said, Pete, you're amazing as always. Thanks. It is so bad how this NXT invasion is up and down. Really feel like this time of year, one person should write all three shows to have a central theme. You'd be right. However, that one person would be Vince McMahon, and it would be awful.
We'd like to pick and choose the person that writes it, and ideally
Triple H. Yeah.
But bang on the money with the NXT invasions being up and down, you know.
Really
up and down. This episode itself just acting as a microcosm for that.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Matthew Robinson again said, love Bray Wyatt using the yes word to get to Daniel.
Yeah.
Which was cool.
I like it. Yeah, I like that. It's just Bray finding ever new and unique ways to get into individual people's heads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice. Sterling Van says, hey, I like Roman Reigns. I just want to buy into him losing by submission moves more. I, however, cannot stand Kona Reeves. I mean, those are two very different people. Kona Reeves, you know, Tesco's finest. And, yeah, I'd like to buy Roman Reigns losing to submission sometimes. It'd be nice if he did. He hasn't, I don't think, ever.
I can't remember an individual time.
Yeah.
Did he ever? Oh, hang on.
I don't think he did.
Do you remember when Braun had that awful bear hug? Did he ever pass out to that?
He might have passed out, but I don't think he's ever tapped.
Oh, I don't remember him ever tapping.
I don't think he's tapped. Briz said, what's your opinion on the Blue Universal Championship? I prefer it to the red one. It's still not great. That's my opinion. Matthew Robinson again says, question, if WrestleTalk got to write WWE shows for 9 months and could do long-term booking, what numbers do you think max WWE could get per show? If WrestleTalk booked it, it would drop to about 1 million viewers per episode. We can't write shows. That's why we critique it and not do it ourselves.
Yeah, we have wild ideas that would only ever work in theory and never in practice.
And we do jokes that would pop us and no one else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It would be like the team on commentary just hardly able to commentate because they'd be saying things and cracking themselves up.
Yes.
And no one else would be laughing.
Absolutely, yeah. That's exactly what would happen.
So that works.
Jason Lindblad says, Bryan versus Fiend is the match at Survivor Series I'm most excited for, but as far as that SmackDown show goes, how do you feel about ending a show like that rather than ending with some action as being in the live audience? Well, the live audience do get to see dark matches afterwards.
Yes.
Which is fine. There were two of them on this episode. There was Roman Reigns versus Corbin, and there was Bray Wyatt versus Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
So they got to see both of those, so I don't mind an episode not ending with action as long as it's some sort of cliffhanger, which this kind of was, sort of. If Miz hadn't said, there you have it, it's Daniel Bryan versus The Fiend, I think it probably would have been a bit of a more impactful ending.
I agree with that.
But I think it was all right. I think it's fine.
Yeah, I've got no particular problem with a lack of action, but a different segment than action ending a show, mm-hmm. because, you know, you can garner as much interest with good sort of character creation storytelling as you can with a really good match. And if anything, you know, the ability to leave on a cliffhanger is easier with words than it is with actions.
Yeah, sure.
So realistically speaking, having it end on a talking segment could work really well.
Yeah, for sure.
I think, you know, someone may have jumped the gun this particular time, but it didn't take away from the overall feel of the segment itself, though. So I think it can be quite good.
Yeah. Matthew Willis comes in to say, is it just me, or did the crowd slowly stop yes chanting as Bray's got louder and louder? Also, first super chat, boys. Well, thank you very much for your first super chat. And yeah, I think the crowd were like, oh, yeah, yes chant. Yes, yes, yes. And then they saw Bray. They were like, oh, that's creepy.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
no.
Yes, yes. Yes, yeah, this is getting weird now.
Yeah, let's stop doing that. And then they stopped. Joe Libro says, Bray versus Cena, and Cena finally turns heel. Best for ratings, Cena heel is crazy and good for Bray and reforms Wyatt family and finally goes for Taker. I like maybe one of those ideas, which is Bray versus Cena. I don't think Cena should turn heel. Bray versus Cena I'd like because Cena beat him at WrestleMania. Still plays into Bray's history at WrestleMania 30. Beat him at WrestleMania, which should have been Bray's big coming out moment. Yep. And his kind of, here's Bray and he's a main event player. And Cena won.
Yep, Cena wins.
So I think, yeah, if Bray faces Cena, that would be fun.
Yep.
And I don't want Cena to turn heel. I don't want him to reform the Wyatt family. And I don't want him to go after Taker because I don't have any interest in seeing The Undertaker wrestle anymore. Unfortunately.
Mm.
He's not very good anymore. Sorry. Fritz... XXITFK777, great name, says, was worried Miz and Bryan would be friends because babyfaces. Glad they weren't. Well, I don't really know if Bryan is a babyface. He's a nothing right now. But I'm very glad they weren't friends.
He's an enigma wrapped in a mystery, wrapped in a blank face.
Yeah, that. But yes, I'm very glad also that they weren't friends.
I like that Miz like brought it up so quickly as well. Just like, yeah, look, I get it. We don't get along. We don't see eye to eye.
Yeah.
I like it when people do that, but still... get along with it. It's done. Miz does it very well.
Mm-hmm.
There have been others who do it quite well. Randy Orton has done it previously, I think, with Jeff Hardy.
Wouldn't surprise me.
On Miz TV, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was when Miz was trying to get them to sort of feud, and he was like, look what Jeff Hardy's done to you. He's embarrassed you. He's disrespected you. Yeah. And Randy's like, I mean, he just took a chance. He just took his opportunity. As far as we're concerned, like, we're cool.
Yeah, that's quite good. Well, that was most certainly a show, wasn't it?
Yes, yes, indeed it was.
Yeah, we just got through all our technical difficulties.
Technical.
Just finished up the not live stream now, the recorded version of it.
It's not so much a live stream, it's the stream.
Just a stream, yes. Anyway, we said we're going to get in some emails, so let's do that.
Yes.
We've got one from Seif Ashour. I don't know if this email is actually... In fact, I might not read this one because I don't know whether it's been... He emailed both me and Luke, so I don't know whether Luke has read it out on a different podcast already. So I'm going to err on the side of caution, and I will not read that one out. I'll ask Luke whether he's read that one out or not, and I'll possibly read it out on another show. But for now, we've got... Geo coming in with an email saying, please read this on the SmackDown review. So
there we go.
Hi, Pete, Dave, and everyone else in the office, but especially Val, because I love her. I wanted to share with you the fact that this Saturday, November the 17th, oh, that is actually in time. That's good. It's my birthday.
Hey!
This Saturday is the 16th, though, because it's today is Saturday, and it's the 16th. And he said it was the 17th. Do you know your own birthday, Geo? Who knows?
Are you okay, sir?
Yeah. And to celebrate, I'm doing a one-shot D&D campaign with my family.
Oh, nice.
Awesome. So I wanted to ask if there is any advice you can give me so that it won't go bad. Well, there's lots of different little sections in this email, so we'll break down that one first.
Yeah.
D&D one-shot. Awesome. Any advice I can give you so you won't get bad? The one-shot I've done went way too long, so just plan something nice and simple. Don't make it too complicated. Don't worry about having massive backstories for your characters or anything like that. Just... do something nice and simple. Do like a little quest, a little adventure. Once it's done, they completed it. Yay, everyone's happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say that within a first one shot, you want to sort of try and hit one story, not even a story, one quest.
Yep.
And give them the three, parts of the three main components, that being combat, exploring, and talk.
Yes.
And you can tailor that dependent on what people are reacting to best. You want them to have a good fight, obviously.
Yep.
You want them to have a nice explore of a new place, maybe a dungeon crawl, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you want them to try and get into the role-playing, you know, you want them to try and get them talking.
Yes.
Get them using those, like, insight checks. Get them using those performance checks. Get them using those deception checks. All that kind of fun stuff that only really works when you're speaking.
Yes.
You know, you want to try and hit all those three. And it sounds a lot to say you want to hit those three but still keep it short, but they don't have to be massive.
No, exactly. Yeah, so depending if you're doing this one shot with the idea that you might want to do more in the future, try and test out those three if you can.
Yeah.
See what your family like the most out of combat, or just general exploring, or like you said, talking and getting into the role play side of things.
Absolutely.
See whatever they respond to and do more of that in the future if you want to do more of that. But now we've got an update on his WrestleTalk Get Better. Saying, I've lost 3 kilos from 89 to 86 kilos since the last month. Also, my job has been steady, and by the beginning of next month, I'm becoming a pledge hammer. Yay!
Dude, nice.
Awesome.
Congratulations on those things. That's fantastic
news
to hear.
It is great. Lastly, I'm getting ready for my stand-up routine, and hopefully we'll be performing next year. That is rad.
That's so cool.
Awesome.
That's so cool. It takes a lot of guts to get up on stage for any reason, but for stand-up comedy...
That's
a big one.
I've contemplated doing stand-up before, and I have not done it because it's terrifying.
Me too.
So, yeah, good luck with that, Gio.
I'm well impressed and proud of you for doing that, my friend. Both of us, it's something that we've thought about but gone, no thanks.
Yeah, no thanks.
Thanks, but no thanks. But you are going for it, taking the plunge. Big proud. Big proud.
Big proud.
Big proud.
And then he says, thanks for helping in all this process. I love you, but especially Val. El Amigo de WrestleTalk, Gio. Also, a quick joke. I love wrestling because it's everything I wish I am. Flashy, fun, entertaining, and predetermined. It's very good.
I like
very
that.
Good to you. Very good indeed.
Very nice.
That's a long email. We won't get into that. None of my emails are really stuff that I want to talk about right now. They're all kind of longer form stuff. So maybe I won't talk about any of those.
Hmm.
Let's talk about other things. What have you been up to this week?
Other
than playing Pokemon yesterday.
Other than playing Pokemon? Well, I didn't get a chance to play D&D on Thursday like I normally do because a couple of our party were ill.
How dare they?
I know, it's very selfish of them to have something issue that meant they couldn't play that wasn't their fault.
I know.
How dare they?
Yeah.
I'm so close to getting to use my new gear in that particular campaign, which is super fun.
Yes.
Super fun.
Yes.
I have a stealth bonus of plus 14.
For those who don't play D&D, that's quite high.
It's dumb.
Yes.
I'm level 9.
Yes.
And I have advantage on that as well.
Good.
Because Nick was just like, here, have some Boots of Elvenkind. Let's make you even more difficult to detect.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I think we were... I've been looking into like homebrew creation stuff.
Ooh.
Like, indeed. I've been looking into a lot of the Unearthed Arcana stuff. So for those of you who don't know, that's basically playtest stuff. You've got your three main categories are the stuff that's already in the game. You've got homebrew, which is stuff that people are creating.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Unearthed Arcana, which is the playtest stuff that the official people behind it have put in and are testing to see where it needs to be nerfed, where it needs to be buffed, how good or not it can be. So stuff like Druid Circle of Spores, and I brought in a homebrewed race for that, which is a Myconid, which is basically a mushroom person.
Nice.
So I'm a mushroom druid. And I'm a mushroom person.
Yep.
So he's just a big mushroom who uses mushrooms.
That's good. Especially because of your YouTube name.
How dare you? Don't
I'm not going to say it.
Yeah, it's very pertinent to me. For whatever reason, mushrooms are a thing that have been associated with my channel and stuff, mostly through the Pokemon that are based off them.
Yes.
But yeah, I've been messing with homebrew stuff as well. Part of the armor set for my plus 14 stealth is homebrewed, and I came across a quite fun little item in homebrew.
Mm-hmm.
It is called the Ring of the Grammarian.
Okay. You were talking to me about this earlier.
What this is, it's an item, and it is homebrewed, so it is available for people's games. And it's a ring that is attuned to, I believe. And using this ring, I believe it is just a spellcaster, can... take a spell, and they can change or add one letter to any of the words within the spell to create a new spell based on the new words that are created. And with the DM's, you know, sort of guidance to how that spell will work, they can use that spell by changing a letter. And this has been around, this has been floating around on Twitter for a little while, and just some of the things that people are coming up with are quite spectacular. We were looking through this earlier, and it's stuff like there's a spell called Cause Fear,
mm-hmm.
where simply changing the F to a B means you cast a spell which is now called Cause Bear. You just cause a bear to be present suddenly. There are some quite brilliant ones. I noted down some of my favourites. There is the Crown of Madness, which mm-hmm. if you're just feeling a little bit down, becomes the Crown of Sadness. Just feeling a little bit down. A little bit down in the dumps. This is very specific from Cure Wounds, the healing spell.
Yeah.
This is very situational. If you've got a lot of sick dogs, you can cure hounds. very situational. There's a high level spell called Destructive Wave,
mm-hmm.
which I changed to Destructive Rave. if a party gets quite out of hand. Also, if I get quite out of hand, it becomes Destructive Dave. Either that, or you just summon someone called Dave who's just angry.
It's just really, really not
really,
happy.
Really, really mean. He's not happy. What have you, got any going on there?
Not particularly. I was just having a look at the spell list to see if I could come up with any off the top of my head here. This one's not as good. You just have the spell called Aid, and you just change it to Aim. So it's just like, I cast Aim. You are now aiming. You gotta wait for next turn to cast anything else.
I think the other good one for that is just to change aid to and, which has two potential options here. Mm-hmm. Either you can just immediately cast another spell,
yeah,
or you use it as a reaction to a spell that doesn't affect you. Just go and.
And of course, this one I pointed out to you earlier. I'm gonna say it again. Arcane lock, arcane cock.
Absolutely, absolutely goes along quite nicely. Gotta with happen. Pass without trace turning into piss without trace. Just really, really sneakily going to the toilet. What else we got? We got Cloud of Daggers, just to turn into Cloud of Doggers. And this is my absolute personal favourite one.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this one on Twitter again, I think. It was, I'm really excited for your reaction to this.
Changing
mass healing word to mass healing worm.
You just create a worm that just heals everyone.
No, you create loads of worms that heal people. It's a mass healing worm. The beauty of that one
it's
is
great.
There's a lot of spells that have the word word in them, which can all be changed to worm, like power worm kill.
See, there's so many different inflections on power worm kill. It could be power worm kill or power worm kill or power worm kill. There's so many different ways you could do it. That's great. There's also arcane gates, just arcane hate. Just someone who really doesn't like magic.
Really hates magic.
You cast that on a spellcaster, suddenly they're like, oh God, what is this magic I've got?
Oh, I've seen some great ones thrown around.
We are terrible, aren't we?
We are.
You could change Bane to Mane. Someone just grows a load of hair around their head.
What was the other thought for Bane? Just change it to Bant.
Bant.
Just a bit of Bant, mate.
Oh, man. Oh, and then there was a spell called Black Tentacles, which you guys changed to Lack Tentacles. Just take out the B.
Yes. Remove the B.
Remove the tentacles right now.
Or the very situational tentacle defense of Block Tentacles.
Some tentacles coming your way. Don't worry. I'm blocking them.
I can block these.
Anyway.
There's pages and pages of spells to potentially go through, It would take us far too long, but for any D&D players out there...
Oh, email in, peterwrestletalk.com,
email
please.
Email in your best Ring of the Grammarian edited spells. One letter changed or added.
Yeah, so it's not removed. So you couldn't actually do what I said before, which was lack tentacles.
You know what? Let's add that in.
We'll put that in. You can take one letter out, change a letter, or add a letter,
yep.
and it would make a different spell. Yes. Send us in your best ones, pete@wrestletalk.com. If you don't play D&D, but you want a spell list, go to dndbeyond.com/spells.
Yes.
And it would all be there as well.
It will.
I'm very much looking forward to that. I really hope people can come up with some good stuff.
I'm so excited.
It's gonna be great.
What's the other one I saw? The very simplest one I've ever seen, which was the spell Hex, which just turns to sex.
That is so stupid. And yet so effective.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Oh, it's great. Can you just change Hex to just H-E-K, just heck? Oh, heck.
Natural 20. Ah, heck.
Ah, heck. Anyway, we're getting way sidetracked.
We really are.
That's all they got. Time. That is all the time we've got for this episode of the WrestleTalk podcast. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. We'll be back on Tuesday. Ollie and Luke will be back doing the Raw review. Ollie and Luke are doing the AEW review on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Laurie and Simon with the NXT review on Thursday. And possibly you and I will be back next Saturday doing the SmackDown one. But also maybe not. There's some polls going on YouTube. So we'll see how that one goes.
Yep.
But hopefully we'll be back sometime soon. See you guys later. I love you all. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.